Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben Crenshaw. We've got an interesting mix today. First off, I want to give you some tee times, but then I want to tell you what you got to watch out for. Volcano Golf Club. Volcano is erupting, and at the Volcano Golf Club, you get one of the best views. You've got the distance, but you've also got the height so that you can really see how high that lava is being shot up into the air. It's really quite incredible. Like, some of them is, you know, maybe even higher than some of the high rises that we've got downtown. So the watchers are out on the golf course. If you'd like to be, there's an 832, a 924, and a 1048. Makalei has an 852, a 1010, a 1052. Now we're going to Kauai, where the Boy Scouts tournament is underway at Poipu Bay. If you'd like to play, there's a 130 and a 2 o'clock open, and nine holes is available if you'd like. At Pearl Country Club on Oahu, the Wind Talkers, that's an appropriate name today. The Wind Talkers. There's an 856, a 940, and a 1036 open, though. Hawaii Kai has an 848, 936, 1010. The Honu Honu at Turtle Bay. I think that means that if you're going to be behind them, be prepared to, like, be a little bit on the slow side. 832, 906, and 1026. Those are your tee times that are open. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 836, 906, 1052. Women mean business. They're on the golf course again. I love that they go out so regularly. Eva Beach Golf Course, 902, 1026, 1108. Bayview has a 914 and a 1056. Now let's go to Wailea, Maui, 1040, 1110 to 1150. So we've got a 1040, and then between 1110 and 1150, it's wide open. Then there's a 940 on the Emerald Course. Between 1130 and 1150, you can also play in that stretch because there are several tee times available. Blue Course has an 830, a 940, a 1010, and Maui Nui has an 832, a 920, and a 1016. What I'm going to tell you next may be the most important thing. All islands, a red flag warning in effect through Saturday afternoon. Gusty winds, low humidity, and this dry, locally windy trade wind flow will produce critical fire weather conditions through Saturday afternoon. Winds will be strongest over and downwind of terrain. Those winds begin to slow down Sunday, though near critical fire weather conditions are expected as this dry weather persists over the leeward areas. So just be prepared for that. Hawaii Island and Maui, high surf advisory actually for Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, Lanai, Kaho'olawe, Maui, and Big Island. So everybody has a high surf advisory. A wind advisory, of course, for Maui in particular and the lower elevations on the Big Island. What's interesting, though, when I look outside, it's so still, just a little bit of a breeze going. There's a lot of cloud action. Dark clouds are developing, and it's starting to feel humid again. I'm hoping that the winds have died down just a bit. That would be very, very cool. And a little rain, a lot of rain, is really what we need to get. And by the way, you know, cut back all the vegetation, that dry stuff, because we haven't had any rain, so it's super dry. Please cut it back, because we don't want anybody to lose anything. Bob Herrig. Bob Herrig is our golf writer and Sports Illustrated, a member of the Golf Writers Association of America. He is a golf writer. He writes for Sports Illustrated. He worked at ESPN, the Tampa Bay Times. His exposure to golf began as a caddy in the Chicago suburbs, where he earned an Evans Scholarship and attended Indiana University. We're going to come back with Bob Herrig right after this.
I'm Danielle Tucker, host of The Golf Club.
Brought to you by the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and great fun. The Aloha Section PGA teacher gets to play golf, the game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Evilay next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy Maui.
The Golf Club
on 101.1.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, member Golf Writers Association of America. He is a golf writer. He writes for Sports Illustrated and his book. Now, Bob, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Drive, the lasting legacy of Tiger Woods. Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry, about their squabbles, their duels, their softening toward each other, their excellence and their disappointments. What edition is this now of your book?
Well, the first one you mentioned, well, they both are. They're both out in paperback. So the Drive book just came out in paperback in May. So so that's nice. It's nice that they did that. That's they don't have to put them out in paperback. That's kind of a nice sign. I think it means they sold a few. So that means the publisher's happy. So. And I'm working on another one now. It's about going to kill me, but I'm working on about Tiger and Jack.
Oh, so far out.
So that'll be out next year sometime. I'm sure we'll talk about it when it gets closer.
Yeah. Why is it going to kill you?
Because it sounds like a great idea to write a book until you actually have to write one. then it's torture. So, it's fun when they're over with, and I'm getting closer. It's almost there.
Okay. Yeah, I have absolute faith in you because you write fabulously, and I love this. I've got to repeat this. If I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Advice to sports media students. Be versatile, learn to do everything, read as much as possible, write as much as possible, whether it be short, long, fast, or slow. Get comfortable doing video, learning how to talk on the air, figuring out to do it all by yourself if necessary. Above all, be a reporter first. Ask always one more question. That's fabulous. Who did you tell that to first?
Yeah, listen, that's a good thing for all of us, I think, in the business to kind of focus in on. Because when I came up, you didn't really diversify that much. There was always paths. People went into print journalism, or they went into magazine writing, or they went into TV. You know, there wasn't really the internet, certainly not to the point it was today. There wasn't social media. There wasn't video. Certainly not produced by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as time went on, I think you have to like recognize that there are these other mediums and other ways that people consume what we do. But I still think it goes back to the basics, which are, you know, the information that I provide. Hopefully it's because I did the work to find it out. You know, that I put in the effort to get it, that I made some calls or looked some things up, to give it more meaning or more. And I think that works for any of these mediums. I mean, if you're doing a video, if you're doing a podcast, say, which obviously is very big in the world today, you got to do your homework. I don't think you just go on there and start riffing. I think you need to know what you're talking about. So, and obviously in what you do on the radio, people who are on TV, obviously in my world, you know, I think it's good to learn how to write short and fast. It's good to learn how to write long, because sometimes they require you to do a long feature. I mean, if you're really, really good at features but can't write fast, well, then you're probably not going to work out real well in the internet world where it's 24/7. Type of environment.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think there's, you know, pretty basic advice that makes some sense, especially when you're coming up today where there's so many things that you could focus on. And so I always tell them that, like, just You know, make sure that you get good at the basics, and I think it works for all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, in all facets of communication. All right. Speaking of all facets, you know, we've got Rory McIlroy, and we've got the, FedEx St. Jude Championship underway. But Rory, what's going on? He's going to skip the first event of the FedEx Cup playoffs? What's going on with Rory?
He's not going to play next week in Memphis. And he sort of has hinted at this going back several months, even back late last year when he was asked about his 2026 schedule. I don't know that we should be all that surprised.
Uh-huh.
He finished, like, you know, there's a 70-player field last year, and he finished 68th. And as he said afterward, he only dropped one spot in the standings. You know, he was way up there,
uh-huh.
And he only lost a position. And so, like, he felt like, and look, Rory doesn't need the money. He's not worrying so much about the payday. You know, he's gonna get a healthy bonus this week for the season ending thing that he's not even playing. And he'll cash in after the BMW Championship.
Mm-hmm.
In a couple of weeks, and then obviously at the Tour Championship. So, he's got a busy schedule after the Tour Championship. And, you know, some of these guys get criticized for not playing a more global schedule. Well, Rory is. Like, he's, you know, the PGA Tour players, except for the Ryder Cup, are pretty much shutting it down after the Tour Championship. They might play once before the end of the year, twice. Well, Rory's going, he's going to play the Irish Open. He's going to play the BMW PGA, which is the DP World Tour's biggest tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play the Ryder Cup. He's playing a tournament in India, a new tournament that the DP World Tour has. He's never played in India. And he's playing the two season-ending DP World Tour events in Abu Dhabi and Dubai.
Wow.
And then he signed up to play in Australia, like in late November, early December, the Australian Open. So, like, I kind of have a hard time criticizing him for skipping one tournament now when he's going to be playing, you know, a pretty robust schedule here coming up. And people, these guys get criticized for not going around the world. Well, he's doing that.
Yes.
So, there's trade-offs. And he can get away with not playing next week and still be in the mix for the FedEx Cup. I just sort of think he's an outlier. I don't think you'll see too many guys doing this because – they don't want to miss a $20 million tournament with no cut, you know, and they don't, you know, and they want to improve their position in the FedEx Cup standings.
Yeah.
Well, he's second to Scottie Scheffler, and he's really probably not going to lose that much ground. Maybe he'll fall a fourth or fifth. He can make it up in one tournament, and then it doesn't even really matter because when he gets to Atlanta, they're starting over this year. It's just one tournament. So it's not, there's no staggered strokes anymore. So, that's why. I mean, it's big for the tournament. Obviously, I think you'd love to have him there. But Rory, you know, he skipped some other tournaments this year that I think are more controversial.
True.
You know, he skipped the Memorial. He didn't play Hilton Head after he won the Masters.
And he didn't play the Century. That was a big disappointment for us.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, I doubt he will next year because he's playing – he's playing in December in Australia,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, he's going to probably start his year in the Middle East in mid to late January. So, like, to go all the way to Hawaii is look, it, if it were a perfect world, he'd do it. But I think he's only played there once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
So, that's a signature event. And these guys catch some grief when they skip them. I get that. Like, and he skipped three this year. He
yes.
skipped that. He skipped Hilton Head, and he skipped the Memorial.
Yeah.
But then again, he played the Canadian Open, which is not a signature event, which is, they love that. He went to the Houston Open, which he did that for the first time. I mean, I don't know. If you give these guys a choice and don't make them play, I think you have to understand that when they don't play, they're allowed to not play. So it's a tough one. And obviously, he's such a star that everybody wants him.
Of course. Yeah, so opening day of the FedEx Cup playoffs begins this coming week. And the tournament features the 70 players in the FedEx Cup standings. It's going to be a TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. But it won't be a 70. Do they have an alternate setup? I think I read that they don't. It'll be 69 players.
Correct. There's no, if you're not in the top 70 after the Wyndham this weekend, you're not there, even though he's not playing. So, and then obviously from there, the top 50 advance to the BMW, which is in Baltimore this year, Caves Valley. And that's big because the top 50 now automatically are in all of the signature events, which right now we think there will be 8.
Okay.
In 2026. Those, you know, that's including the Century, and it's Pebble Beach and Riviera and Bay Hill. And so it's to get in those tournaments, 5 of them don't have a cut. They're all $20 million purses. it's a big deal to get in them.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what's at stake this coming week. You know, those guys who are 51 to 70 are trying to play well enough to move up.
So Rory's doing them a favor.
Yeah, in theory he is.
Yes,
because you know Rory doesn't have to worry about falling very far, and you know he's not going to be grabbing points. You know, the FedEx events have 4 times the points. So, like this week's winner gets 500. Next week it'll be 2,000.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, guys can make a move. But typically, we're only talking about, you know, a handful of guys that will move up and into the next round. But, you know, that's one less guy you have to worry about beating.
Right. Okay. So this is where my head's going on all of this. You know, it's really exciting, compelling. But is it? You know, we've got, this is year 2 of the reimagined schedule the PGA Tour put together. It's supposed to deliver heightened drama and consequence for fans. Those 8 signature events, the 4 majors, the FedEx Cup playoffs. But is it really working? Is this compelling? Is this grabbing fans?
Yeah, it's a good question. I do think that they need to kind of keep thinking about it and working through ideas. I actually, you know, personally, I think 8 signature events is too many. Good luck going back on it, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, like once you have it, and, you know, are you going to then take 2 away and then have 2 tournaments with smaller purses?
Yeah, right.
You know, good luck pushing that through. But I actually think that 8 is too many because there's 2 examples to me that are events that do not need to be signature events. Hilton Head the week after the Masters, and the Travelers the week after the U.S. Open. Those tournaments do very well anyway. They get and they're the types of events that, you know, certain players like playing after the U.S. Open, but others don't. And so you're forcing that, and the Masters too, because they're signature events, you're almost forcing them to go.
Yeah.
And I think it would be better if those tournaments just were regular events, stood on their own. Obviously, the Memorial, the Arnold Palmer, and the Genesis, which are, you know, the legacy events, Tiger, Arnie, and Jack, those are fine. And so is Pebble Beach, to make that a signature event, because that tournament had kind of had difficulty with the field because of the weather and the format and everything. Now they've narrowed it down. They've made it a signature event. You know, everybody goes. So that's good for an iconic place like that. And obviously the tournament that's in Charlotte is fine too. But I you know, if you just had 6, 3 that have a cut and 3 that don't, the 3 legacy events do have a cut. And then you just made the RBC Heritage and the Travelers Championship regular events, that opens up the door to more players in those tournaments too. Because they're not limited field. I wish they would give that a rethink And then, obviously, I think it gets competitive now with only 70 guys getting in the playoffs. I think that part of it is good. One of the reasons that, you know, it lacks some drama is because a guy like Scheffler has been so dominant.
A good point.
Last couple of years, you know. But on the other hand, I don't think fans were enamored with that starting strokes format at the Tour Championship.
You know,
so giving a guy a head start, and it'll be better that it's just a regular event, and the person who wins it wins the whole thing.
Oh yeah,
that's
and
fine.
By the
you
way,
know, I mean, the teams that get to the Super Bowl, none of them have an advantage. You know, they might have had the best. One might have won more games than the other, but that team is not given any advantage. They kick off 0-0.
Exactly.
You know, so that's why that was always a bit funky. And I understand what they were trying to do, but it just got so much negative attention. I think they were smart to move on from it.
Thank you. And what I need to interject here is, we want the century to be a signature event. Don't take that away from us, because that is a really, really great tournament. You've got to come over for that, Bob. Century Insurance does a fabulous job putting on a really good tournament that really not only gives you a great golf course and a great field, but it also gives back huge to the community. So it would be a shame for us to lose that. So see, I'm one of those people who's you can't take that away.
I don't think they will. I mean, I think they like the idea of starting the year that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of, you know, the idea of a tournament of champions was good in a different time. It was a little sleepy. Now it's, you know, it's obviously if you win, you get in, but anybody in the top 50 also gets in. So they've made it a bigger field. It's a better tournament because there's more players, you know, and there's a little bit more urgency now at the beginning of the year, I think, because guys want to get off to a good start.
True, true. And one of the things that we're up against as a sport is basketball, football, baseball. They all have the team. There is a team, and we all know their names, and we watch because we're like super rabid about loving our team. And
right. That's,
you know, it's then we have some of our guys going, yeah, you know, golf doesn't really, it's not the be all and end all in my life. You know, sure, it's nice winning, but hey, it's not everything. Just being honest. And the other one's taking time off at the height of the season finale, you know what I mean?
Well, I think there's something to be said for there's a lot of golf. It's very compressed. You know, I've noticed at these playoff events that these guys are dragging a little bit.
Yeah,
I
would be.
Especially when you go to Memphis and it's 90 degrees and humid. And Atlanta, of course, is the same way. I mean, that's, you know, look, that's another thing, probably another discussion, but you know, FedEx sponsors this whole thing. It's like $100 million, and they want to have one of these tournaments. I get it, but it's not ideal to be playing there this time of year, and really, it's not been great to play in Atlanta in August.
No,
and when the time comes to, you know, the new TV, they really need to think about moving some of these things around a little bit. The BMW Championship does move around now, and I think that's been great for them. You know, last year they were in Denver at Castle Pines. This year they're going back to Caves Valley. A few years ago they had a great playoff between Cantlay and Bryson when Bryson was still on the PGA Tour. The fans loved it, and they're bringing it to markets that don't have it every year.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. I mean, like, you know, in the Tour Championship could do the same thing. Why not go out west, play in prime time in the east? You know, the weather's better in California or Arizona at that time. Well, maybe not in Arizona, but certainly in California. Or when you only have 30 players, you can it's easier to find a golf course.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's just so many things I think that now with new leadership and everything that they could start to unpack, and it's not going to all happen at once, but over time maybe things can shift.
Yeah, and then there's the new tournament, the Truest, It's going to be in Charlotte, right? So they're expanding, but I think they need to tighten up a little bit somehow. And I don't know, but I have faith in the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, for coming up with a lot of great ideas and hopefully streamlining these things so that, you know, they're not dying in the heat when they're playing. And we're not like, oh, God, you know, how many of these tournaments, what are they doing this time? Who, what? When, why, how? I want people to come to the game, not kind of not figure it out. You know, that's
right.
That's where I'm coming from. Well, let me know when you've got time again in your schedule, because you're on the road too. You're one of those on the road people, and I thank you so much for taking the time today to be with me. Thanks.
Glad to do it. Have a great rest of the show and a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob Herrig, aloha. Senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated. We're coming back with Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? Let's go.
Come on. I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
All right, we've got a red flag warning in effect through Saturday afternoon. So this afternoon, all the way, gusty winds, it's been blowing hard, low humidity, and all of that adds up to critical fire weather conditions. We haven't had enough rain to keep things green. Everything is brown or turning back to dirt. So you need to cut everything back that is potentially something that is fueling for the fire. You know, that fuel will spread fast. So I bring you to, you know, the it's so hot riding mower sale. It's hot, it's humid. You got to make your work faster, easier. And the riding mower is perfect for that. At Aloha Power Equipment, whether you're a homeowner or, you know, a landscaper, and you want a really supersized one of these fabulous smooth riding mowers of your dreams, and they're waiting for you at Aloha Power. I was watching them at the Waimalu Triangle yesterday, clearing away all the really just dried out nothing. And if somebody just, you know, throws something burning out of their car, bam. That's the problem. Don't forget accessories. They've got all kinds of great stuff at Aloha Power Equipment. From mowing to mulching and bagging, we make yard work easy. So you just mow it, blow it all together, and bag it. Done. Remember, it's always fire season, but particularly now with the humidity, it's just not giving the ground the moisture. The rain isn't with us. We hope it's going to rain. I'm hoping those dark clouds turn into that. My name is Danielle Tucker, and now let's continue the show.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands. And enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine, former collegiate player, pleased to make solid contact. Welcome into the clubhouse, Beth Ann.
Yeah, the expectations have gone down a bit, Danielle, over the years.
We're all pleased to make solid contact. You know, it's just it's a wonderful thing. Tournament of the week, the AIG Women's British Open. I was looking $9.75 million. That's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, ever since the RNA became involved with this championship and brought AIG on as the title sponsor, the purse has really skyrocketed. I think it's tripled in just a few short years, so... it's wonderful to see.
Yeah, and I mean, the amount of work the women do, and men are, you know, getting $20 million, but 9.75 is fantastic. Now, what is this Porthcawl in Mid Glamorgan, Wales? What's that golf course like? Have you seen it?
Well, I haven't been there in person. I'm covering this one from afar. It looks fantastic on television.
It does.
You know, the players seem to be raving about the test that it's providing. I think it's set up well today on moving day. You know, there were a lot of movement, a lot of low scores, but then you know it's been difficult for the leader, who's brought it back a little bit. So what it does is it takes driver out of the hands for some of these long players, which is why you see someone who's not even 5 feet tall, Miyu Yamashita, leading the way here at 9 under. But she's had a tough day today after cruising and getting the better side of the draw in those first two rounds. There really was a big difference if you played late, early. That was the better side for the first two rounds. So it's kind of, you know, she's been playing in the harsher elements today, with a little bit more wind and a lot more pressure, and has come back a little bit. She's 2 over on the day and playing her last hole.
Wow. Okay. I just wanted to mention, because Allison Corpus is from Hawaii, and, you know, she didn't make the cut by one stroke, 3 over, along with Gemma Dreiberg, Alexandra Forsterling, Hinako Shibuno, Alima Garvey, Albain Valenzuela, Lydia Hall, G.A. Shin, Lauren Walsh, Brooke Henderson, Gabriella Ruffles, and Ireland's Lauren Walsh. Those are some big names that didn't make the cut. Brooke Henderson, Gabriella Ruffles. I don't know. Were you surprised?
Well, this has been a strange year. You know, the LPGA hasn't had one player win twice this year. There have been 20 different winners on tour, which is a record for you know, this point in the season, especially coming off of last year, where we saw for the first time in a long time, it seemed, you know, the top players in the world really dominate, with obviously Nelly Korda leading the way with 7 wins, and
yes,
and Lydia Ko right behind her, you know, Ronnie Yin, Gino Titicoon, all of them had superb years. And then you look at, you know, this year, and it's really pointing to the diversity and depth of the tour once again. So, Lilia Vu just won this, you know, 2 years ago, struggling mightily. Hannah Green hasn't really been able to do much all season. She also missed the cut. You know, Jennifer Kupcho, who won earlier this year, missed the cut. I mean, there was Ingrid Lindblad made a 10. She was doing great and then just ran into a brick wall that, you know, moved her to tears on the green on 11 yesterday.
Oh.
and didn't make the weekend. You know, it can bite you fast out here. You know, you can, when you're playing links golf, you get in the wrong position off the tee, especially as we saw with Lottie Woad, you know, with that triple bogey on 16 that, you know, seemingly knocked her championship chances, you know, right out, you know, you can think that you're humming along, and then all of a sudden, bam, that's what happens.
Funny, that happens to many of us.
Right? We can all relate to that.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about Miyu Yamashita. Now, yesterday she was 11 under, now she's 9 under, but she's still in the lead. I'm not familiar with her.
Well, it looked like for a minute there she was going to run away with this thing, but, you know, Miyu Yamashita is a rookie on the LPGA, but a rookie in name only. She's a predominant winner on the JLPGA. She's actually won 3 majors on that tour. She's won more than a dozen titles in Japan and came to LPGA Q School last year in December and won it, not surprisingly. She was ranked in the top 20 in the world at the time. So, you know, she is definitely a proven winner on home soil. She has yet to break through on the LPGA. This would obviously a big way to do it, much like we saw Mao Saigo win her first LPGA title earlier this year at the Chevron. It's been just a remarkable year for Japanese players. We saw, you know, them dominating at the U.S. Women's Open early as well. So, you know, I think it's going to take something for Yamashita to obviously get it across the line. But if you were going to have an off day, you know, today was the day to do it. Right? Better than tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Now, something that you were, you know, and all of this information comes from Beth Ann Nichols and Golf Week magazine. If you get a chance, follow it. So much great writing about this tournament and all the tournaments on the LPGA. First round leader, Mrs. Cut. Is that a first?
No, my, right? I mean, that's absolutely brutal.
Yes.
We actually saw something similar last week at the Scottish Open, but that player hadn't played in like 4 or 5 years because she went off on maternity leave and had a couple kids and hadn't played much recently. So that was a little bit different. But this, yeah, you know, that is always – always shocking to see, you know, that Japanese player, Iri, she plays on the JLPGA as well, had been battling a back injury.
Oh, yes.
So I don't know if maybe that, you know, creeped in a little bit. She hadn't been able to practice as much as she wanted, you know, coming into the event and was a bit surprised by that first round. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised that, you know, it turned around the next day.
Yeah, particularly when you come back, you know, and the back is, you tense up just a little bit, and that's when you're just doomed, because as soon as that tension goes into your back, and if you've got a problem with it, it takes over, and it's really hard to ignore it.
yeah, the weather plays an issue. It can play a factor in it, too.
That's right. Ingrid Lindblad, the Swedish rookie, what happened on the 11th hole?
Well, this is where I can say that I don't know.
Oh.
And this is an unfortunate thing because, you know, I listened to them talk about it a little bit on the radio, on the RNA radio,
uh-huh.
And that's how I know that she was crying. But I didn't actually see the hole, and there's not shot link. So it's not like you can,
yes.
And the women's game, unfortunately, we only get that 2 times a year, right? At the KPMG Women's PGA and then obviously at the U.S. Women's Open.
And that's wrong.
And outside of that, you know, you just see this number. And you're like, well, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was going to go bother her after that round to get the details. So unfortunately, you know, we might find out about that later. It's one of those things with women's golf, you know, it costs a lot of money to get shot link. And I think a lot of fans don't realize, you know, what a gap that gives us between the men and the women.
Yes, it's huge. It is huge. And I didn't know that it cost a lot of money. It's a shame, you know, TV or somebody can't, like, put it in there so more information can go to us. I was surprised about Jennifer Kupcho. What's going on with her game?
Well, you know, she had a she lost her swing earlier in the year,
yeah.
And so, you know, to listen to her talk about it at the ShopRite, you know, she was kind of amazed that she was able to turn it around and get everything back together for the ShopRite. So, you know, I mean, just one of those weeks. I don't necessarily think that, you know, anyone needs to hit the panic button there, because, you know, it wasn't all that long ago that she was in the winner's circle.
This
so
is true.
It's just an off week. But, yeah. You know, she was definitely hitting the panic button at the first major at the end.
Yeah. Let's see now. Maha Stark. I think, is that pronounced correct, Maha?
Maya Stark.
Okay.
Pretty sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what I, another miscut after winning the U.S. Women's Open, broke her putter?
Yeah, broke her putter. Broke her putter, that was at the KPMG Women's PGA. I made the cut there. I was on Sunday, actually, when she was walking off the green and threw her putter and it broke. And she was obviously quite disgusted. So, you know, it's tough when you have a week like that where, you know, her expectations were low going into Erin Hills. You know, she had been struggling with some things and found it that week. And then you're trying to kind of recalibrate after you have, you know, a huge moment like that to figure out, you know, what are my expectations now and what you, the kind of player that you think you need to be as a major champion. So I'm sure she's still sorting through all of that in her own way.
Sure. And you know, when it broke her putter, I'm like, how do you break a putter? Now I know. It went airborne. So there is some really great news, by the way. And I want to get to the real positive stuff here, too, because Yanni Tseng is playing this weekend, right?
I think it's phenomenal. I think it's such an incredible comeback story. You know, you don't see players toil in the best usually as long as Yanni has. You know, I think a lot of folks wouldn't have been surprised at all if she just, you know, left the game and never came back. But, you know, for those who don't know, Yanni was an absolute dominant number one player for quite a while. She won this championship back-to-back in 2010 and 2011. She's a five-time major winner. And about a decade ago, you know, just lost her game. She struggled with some injuries. She's had surgery. But a lot of it was in her head, too. You know, this was a player who really put golf on the map in Taiwan. She was an absolute rock star in Taiwan. I actually covered her there and was blown away by how big her star was over there, and carried a lot of expectations. And so, you know, she's really worked hard trying to find it again, and to the point that she started putting left-handed, which is incredible in and of itself. And that cured the yips. It rewired her brain in a way that nothing else could. And to see her, she missed the cut by one at the U.S. Women's Open. She qualified for that. She had to go through qualifying. She's obviously in this championship because she's a past champion, so she can play in it as much as she wants until age 55. But to see her hold on and make the cut, you know, she said afterwards that she was sure that when she called her mom, she'd probably start crying. And it's just so hard to believe that here's a player, you know, who's won so many times all over the world, five-time major winner, you know, that she's going to cry tears of joy for making a cut.
Yes.
You know, it's really an incredible story.
Yes, it is. And, I mean, if you're new to this game, she was like, you couldn't get any higher than Yanni Tseng.
Right.
You know, she was the ultimate.
Pure power.
Yes.
Pure power.
Exactly. And it just tells you, you know, how easy it is to lose it. And how hard it is to get it back. It's I love that she started putting left-handed. And it gave her hope, I think you wrote, right? I'm talking with Beth Ann Nichols, the senior writer at Golf Week magazine, who covers all of the LPGA ups and downs. And you'll also see her on television on Golf Channel. It's always fun seeing you on television on Golf Channel when the guys are asking you questions, and you've got that great smile, And you're always right there with always right there with the information. Now, I do have to ask about Nelly Korda. I mean, she's probably so sick of being talking about Nelly Korda again. How is she?
Well, I'm sure she's more frustrated than she'll probably ever let on to us. That she hasn't won yet. You know, to come off a year in which you've won 7 times.
Yeah.
You know, came back from injury and won again, you know, toward the end of the season at the Annika, and started off strong earlier in the year in the first tournament, finished second, and it just hasn't been able to get across the line. And I think, you know, for the most part, it's been her putting. And in that, she hasn't made those putts that she really needed for momentum. And when statistically, when you look at how she's played, you know, her scoring average is actually better than last year. Better stroke game putting is actually better than last year. Like, wait a second, how is this possible? You know, and that's golf, though. You know, I mean, it's crazy, and so it's not that she's so wildly off that it's a head scratcher. That's not it at all. She's right there. She just can't get that momentum going when she needs it. And so, and like I said, with 20 different winners this season, there have just been a lot of players that have turned it on.
Well, we have a little saying here. I'm not sure if it's, internationally said, golf gods give and they take it away.
Very true. Very true.
So, you know, you just have to wait until they're going to give it back, and you got to work at it. You are so much fun to talk with. Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine. Hopefully we can not go for, a long time. I can't believe how long it's been since I've been able to have a conversation with you. You're so busy, a mom, always on the road, doing all these things that you do. Thank you for spending time with us this morning inside the clubhouse.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it very much, and I hope to get to Hawaii sometime. Yes. You guys stay safe over there.
That would be fabulous. Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine. Aloha.
Aloha to you, too.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll be back. Coming back now with someone who can tell us a little bit about recovering what may have been lost. Yes, we've got Ben Hongo. Ben Hongo, Director of Instruction, Aloha Section PGA President, Hongo Golf Academy at Kapalua, Maui. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Eva side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a 9. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf.
Now back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Ben Hongo, PGA, and President Aloha Section PGA. The PGA of America is the largest sports organization composed of PGA America golf professionals. They work daily, not only to grow interest in the game of golf, but to get people involved in the game. And in Ben Hongo's case, to help them with their game. Hey, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning. Ben Hongo is a runner, a foodie, a sushi cuisine lover, a lover of the game, a member of the Aloha Section. I mentioned that since 1989 when he first accepted his assistant golf professional position at Kapalua Golf. Wow, you've been doing this a long time, and I want to ask you. We're talking about earlier, you probably heard, I know, thank you for waiting, with Beth Ann about, for instance, Nelly Korda. You know, you win seven times, and then all of a sudden you can't seem to get through the door. You lose your game like some people do, and it's, how do you get it back? Well, do you have problems like that that come to you? I should say, people who have those kinds of problems come to Ben and say, help me, Ben. I can't get my game back.
I think that's happened to a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you look at the history of golf, I mean, there's tons of players, that was once dominant, and they kind of lose their game. And, you know, whether it's, a swing issue, injury issue, mental issue, I mean, there's probably a lot of stuff. You know, I also, especially for tour players, I've never been in their shoes, but, you know, you get to Nelly or, Scotty, you become number one in the world, and all of a sudden, your time requirement, with the media or sponsors, whatnot, I can't imagine, because you get into a routine, and I think the routine is really important for, athletes, and all of a sudden when that routine gets disrupted, I think it's a tough thing. I think time management is very important for tour players and also for the rest of us. Most of us recreational golfers, I always tell people all the time, like, I think one of the biggest threats for, trying to be good at golf is, life gets in the way. You got to pick up your kids, you got jobs, whatever. So I think that's really hard to manage everything and also, to work on your golf game. So I think, one of the things that I do preach during my lessons is to, make your practice sessions effective. So you're not just up there hitting golf balls for an hour, that you're actually trying to do something with your time. If the game of golf is, say 30% full swing, 30% short game, and somewhat of a 30%, 40% putting, I think you should practice, in that same way as well. So you're not just working on one part of the golf game, that you're putting, you're working on all parts of the golf game.
I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people love to hit balls. It's like, get out that driver, whatever it is that you like to hit the golf ball off the tee and just like watch it fly. But, you can only do that. And then what if you lose your swing? That starts creeping, or you did it too much. Now you hurt yourself. It's everything, as you said, you got to do everything. Work on it all. But I need to bring up two names. Scottie Scheffler. Yeah. He's one of the people that, he was winning. And then, not so much, right? It was like, where did his game go? And, his game didn't go anywhere. He's just fine. He just didn't win. Tiger Woods, on the other hand, winning. some people don't do anything but their game. And I think, Tiger, for most of his career, that's all he did. And Scottie Scheffler, when he said, it's not the end all and be all of me, he's got family, and he puts that, you know, he takes that time for family. He just doesn't focus only on golf. It's kind of like you've got to do a lot of different things, or your personality has to be perfect for this game to be at the elevation that some of these guys achieve. And Scottie Scheffler, I think, is phenomenal in that he's got the family thing going on in faith and all the things that he does in addition to the game that is balanced. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I think he's going to last for a long time because, you know, like you said, he's got everything balanced out pretty good. You know, during the Open Championship, you know, he made a little stir saying that, hey, games, you know, golf is not that important to me.
Yes.
It's just something I do and da da da. Yeah, you know, he's having a pretty monster year. I know he had a little bit of a low last year, but this year he's got two majors and, you know, it looks like he's off and running to get his, you know, Grand Slam.
Right.
Shortly, maybe in the next few years and whatnot. But he's fascinating because he's so nonchalant and he's just kind of, but he also admits that he loves playing golf and he loves winning. So, you know, it's part of him. You know, it's interesting, you know, guys like, you know, Tiger and, you know, Scheffler. I remember, I think it was our tournament. You know, he had one of those monster years and one of the media reporters asked him, he goes, hey, is this the best year you've ever had? And Tiger replied, he goes, well, when I was, you know, when he was like 12 or 13, you know, he won like 38 events or something like that. And I'm like, what? I mean, who plays in 38 tournaments when you're 12 years old and win it all? And then I think Scottie's won like 160 some junior tournaments. I mean, you know, these two guys have been just winning all their lives. They don't know how to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, yeah. Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Yeah. So when we come to you to learn, there's all sorts of wind game, putting game, full swing, bunker play. All of those are really important. But right now we seem to be getting a lot of wind. And are people coming to ask you for help with how to keep it under the wind?
I mean, that's, you know, obviously at Kapalua, I think we get a little bit more wind than other places. And
yeah.
I know Hawaii is a state we get a lot of wind, but, you know, that's a daily conversation I have with players, you know, that play here at Kapalua is how to play in the wind, you know, and you know, last few days especially, I mean, it's blowing, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Or it's blowing. And I think, you know, first thing is playing downwind and playing into the wind is very different. You know, so that saying of, you know, when it's breezy, swing easy, you know, that doesn't apply 100% of the time because you're not always going into the wind. Another thing is, you know, what people don't realize is, let's just say we believe that 10 miles per hour is going to affect the ball 10 yards. So if you're hitting the golf ball into the wind, into a 10 miles per hour wind, and you think you're going to lose 10 yards, and then if you're going downwind, same thing's going to happen, that you think you're going to gain 10 yards, that's not actually accurate. So you're going to lose more yardage going into the wind opposed to going downwind.
So if you lose 15 yards going into the wind, you might only gain 8 yards going with the wind.
Wow.
So that's one thing. That's one thing that I think a lot of amateurs have to realize is, hey, just because I have to hit two more clubs into the wind, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get two more clubs going downwind.
Right.
And another thing also is, for me, I don't hit the ball very high. I hit the ball pretty low. So when we're playing the 17th hole on the Bay Course, which is a par 3 over the water, it's coming straight downwind. I actually lose some yardage in the air, but I gain in the roll. The ball just keeps on rolling and rolling and rolling. So, you know, it's usually like that shot's about 175 to 180 yards or something like that. So
you know, for me, 180, you know, yards would be somewhere like a 5-iron. So generally speaking, on that hole, I'm hitting like either a 6 or 7-iron. Now, a lot of my friends that hit the golf ball maybe just as far as me or just a little bit further than me, I mean, some of them are hitting 9-iron and 8-irons because they hit the ball so darn high. I just don't get that same effect. So, you know, I'm only clubbing, you know, down maybe 1 or 2, and they're clubbing down maybe about a, you know, 3 because it's blowing, you know, whatever, 30 miles per hour, 25 miles per hour, you know, as it's been in the last couple of days.
You're gonna have to explain clubbing down for people who don't understand what that means.
So clubbing down would be if you're hitting a 7-iron, you know, you're going to hit an 8-iron. And clubbing up would be if you're hitting a 7-iron, you're hitting a 6-iron.
Got
so,
it. Okay.
You know, up and down.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, that those things are difficult to identify. You know, if you haven't played a lot of golf, especially in the wind.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of people have just never seen wind, you know, that we get regularly here in Hawaii, and they kind of freak out.
I imagine it's kind of important to keep it low rather than letting it go up and join the wind.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to be careful of how low you're going to hit the golf ball, too, because if you hit it too low, then it's not going to go anywhere either.
Yeah.
So there's a happy medium there somewhere. But you know, particularly when you're hitting the golf ball into the wind, the spin is really the enemy, not so much the height.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, that saying of, you know, when it's breezy, swing easy, because if you swing easier, you less likely you're going to spin the ball. And then when you spin the golf ball, it can spin, you know, up, but it can also spin sideways, too. So if you hook or slice the golf ball, you know, I tend to draw the golf ball. So if I'm hitting the golf ball into the wind, let's say my normal draw is 5 yards into the wind, you know, I may have to play for 10 yards of a draw. So my wind is going to be a little bit different as well.
Yeah, the reason I'm talking is because sometimes we lose the connection, which is, it's like the old days when the reception was bad. We kind of lose you a little bit. So I just was wondering if you've got a good connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I think the more you play in the wind, I think, more you get used to it.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And then when I go to the mainland, it kind of works against me because, you know, I feel the wind a little bit, and I just assume that it's going to affect the ball as much as it does here because, you know, I feel just, you know, like 2 miles per hour or 5 miles per hour, and it's really, you know, it's really not blowing that much up in the air, and so all of a sudden I'm not being affected that much. So it's just weird.
It is. So if somebody's going to go out and play today, and it's going to be blowing really hard on Maui, on the Big Island, in some areas, as well as, you know, it's been blowing through Honolulu and it's probably just windy, basically, unless it's given up on being windy and it's going to rain on us, which would be great. Now, what do you suggest? Tell us what we need to do.
Okay, so one, I would go, you know, from a technique standpoint, you know, you want to stabilize yourself. So I would go to a slightly wider stance and, you know, I would flare the toes out just a little bit more. So you get a little bit more stable.
Okay.
So the wind's not blowing, you know, blowing you around. Now, some people's physique, like me, you know, I'm short and stubby, if you want to call me. So I don't get blown around too much. But you know, if you're taller, and you're a little bit skinnier and you get blown around a little bit, you know, I think it's really important to kind of get a little bit more, you know, stability into the ground. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Then the second thing I would say to you is play the ball just slightly back in the stance. So you're going to make really good contact with the golf ball and, you know, you'll hit the ball just slightly lower.
Okay.
Especially into the wind or crosswind. And don't be afraid. I mean, you know, sometimes you're going to have stupid club in your hand. You're going to go, oh, my goodness.
I can't believe I'm hitting a 7-iron from 120 yards. But, you know, you have to trust it as much as, possible.
I like it.
And yeah, and also when you're going with the wind, you know, when you're going downwind, you know, be really aware of the carry. You know, so when I laser, measure, I'm always looking at the carry number when I'm going downwind. I want to make sure I'm not too worried about, the total distance to the hole. I want to make sure that I'm carrying over whatever I got to carry over, whether it's water or bunker or whatever I'm looking at. So, that's one thing I'm really aware of. So I don't leave myself short, which a lot of people do going downwind. I think, playing downwind is just as hard as playing into the wind.
Yeah. Now, what did you say about laser? What device do you use?
For my measuring device, I know there's a lot of stuff out there, GPS and whatnot, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to advertise, but, my favorite is Bushnell. So
I think that's kind of like the track man of lasers and whatnot. So it seems like everybody uses Bushnell.
Okay.
If you've never seen it before, it's like a small little binocular. It's actually just one. And you look through it, you hit a button, and it tells you how far you're away from things, whether it's a tree or a bunker or.
The most important equipment I have in my bag other than my clubs and balls.
Yeah. And that's great to know. Thank you. That's huge for people who don't feel comfortable judging distance, and when it's blowing at you and you're going into the wind, it's even more difficult to judge distance.
Yes.
You really can't think so much. You're just trying to keep your hat on. Some of the things that Ben Hongo, who is a fabulous teacher, he's very, very patient, and you'll learn so much. You can learn the basics. You can get comfortable for business golf. That's huge nowadays, isn't it? Business golf.
I don't know how many people have come to me, in my career where they go, I don't really want to play. I mean, I don't really want to learn how to play golf, but I need to learn how to play golf because everybody in my office plays golf and I feel like I'm losing some time with my boss, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So, or they get invited to, golf is used a lot in a charity, world.
A lot of people, especially in the professional world, they're getting invited to these events and they don't know how to play golf. So I think it's, it's a social thing. It's a game that you can play for lifetime. You're out there in the sun and it's, somewhat healthy.
Yes.
And you don't have to be running a marathon to play golf. I mean, if you can walk, you can play golf.
Yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful game. And if you've got kids, boy, introduce them to the game of golf as soon as possible because they learn so much, not just the game. They learn how to behave, and it's almost when you're in the world of golf, they sense how they should behave. It's almost miraculous, the change in their behavior. So with Ben Hongo, you can learn the basics. You can get comfortable for business golf. You can get comfortable, that embarrassment of being on the first tee. Good God, they're all looking at me. Oh, my God, how are they criticizing me? Oh, dear. Yes, everybody has those thoughts.
Secret to that. My wife's got a secret to that.
Okay, what is it?
When she goes to play golf, she doesn't play the first hole. Her first hole is the second hole.
Okay, there's a solution, but you lose a hole.
Yeah, you do. She doesn't keep scoring and everything like that, so she goes, I don't want to get in front of all these people. I'll just wait till the next hole. I'm like, okay, fine with me.
Whatever makes you happy, dear.
Your goal, always, whether you're a junior golfer or a professional golfer, is that when you pick that ball out of the hole in the last hole you played, you tell yourself, hey, that was fun and I want to do it again. That should be your goal, regardless of you know, your skill level or whatever, you know, whatever the goals you might have and whatnot. But I think the number one goal should be you should enjoy yourself. It is a game.
Fantastic. Well said, Ben Hongo, President, Aloha Section PGA, Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf Academy, Kapalua, Maui. Get in touch with him. I wrote it down here somewhere. What is your email? You have your email posted online, so how does that go? Tell us your email address.
It's just Ben Hongo, PGA, at Gmail. So it's BenHongoPGA. At gmail.com.
So simple. Okay. So you can get in touch with him. And what's your phone number? Do you give out your office number?
Yeah, absolutely. 808-280-1907.
208-1907 with the 808 in front. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Ben Hongo, for being inside the clubhouse. I can't wait to do it again. Oh, the number again? 808-280-1907. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you so much. It's always nice talking to you.
It's good talking to you. Yes. Aloha. We're coming back. Ron Cyrak just got off the golf course. We're going to ask him if he gets embarrassed on the right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
All right. You know, we've got the red flag warning is in effect through this afternoon. Gusty winds, low humidity, just an indicator. It can produce critical fire weather conditions. So be prepared. It's blowing strong in places. It certainly was yesterday. Felt a little less intense this morning when I walked out the door. You never know. It seems to pick up over. Bottom line is this. Be careful. And it's so hot and it is so humid. You can make your work so much faster and so much easier. Just get a riding mower, and they're on sale at Aloha Power Equipment. The riding mower. It doesn't matter. Homeowner or a landscaper with a lot of land to take care of, you really want one of these. And we've got the smooth riding mower of your dreams waiting for you. Don't forget the accessories, you know, the mowing, then the mulching and the bagging. Yeah, it makes yard work easy. You mow it, you blow it all together, and then bag it, and you're done. Remember, it's always fire season. It always is fire season. The way the humidity is, the way the rain has left us, protect your property with the best tools around. And if you live on a neighbor island, no worries. We ship off island just for you. New shipments come in daily. KORL YNI Honolulu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award, LPGA Media Excellence Award. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, always a pleasure. Love being on with you.
I love having you here. And so, do you ever get nervous on the tee, you know, with everybody looking at you?
I've been getting nervous for about 70 years. It never goes away. You know, it's funny. When I was doing the first Vision 54 book, I asked a concert pianist, have you gotten over being nervous when you perform in front of an audience? He said, I've never gotten over being nervous. I've just gotten used to what it feels like to be nervous. And I think that's the key right there, you know, to embrace that feeling.
Yes. So, you know, you're ready for it, you know, and it's true, you know, when you walk into a studio and you got the microphone in front of you and
conference recording started.
And something like that happens. You never know what your action is going to be. You just have to like roll with it, you know, just roll with it.
Well, you know this, and I'll say this, as much live television and radio as I've done over the years, you know, I'm still incredibly nervous every time I do it. And I still make my notes. I still go over things in my head to try to not screw up. But I don't think I've ever done an interview where later I didn't think of something better I could have said.
Yes.
Yes. But that's the way we play golf, isn't it? You always, at the end, you always think of something better you could have done.
If only I'd chosen a different club.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, the AIG Women's Open, $9.7 million purse. That's awesome in and of itself, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and the prize money continues to go up. I love the fact that for the women's majors, the quality of the venues continues to improve. You know, that really helps. You know, I think that helps draw new eyes to the product when you're playing venues that people have heard of before or they're curious about seeing. So everything on the upswing for the LPGA, although the weird thing is, something is happening right now on this LPGA season that has never happened before. And it might continue this week, looking at the leaderboard from the AIG Women's Open.
Uh-huh.
There have been no repeat winners. We've had every tournament been won by somebody different. That's never happened in the 75-year history of the LPGA.
Wow.
The fewest multiple winners we've ever had is during the COVID year, Danielle Kang and Se-Young Kim each won twice. And that's only once has there been twice. Several times somebody led the league and wins with three victories.
Yeah.
But this year, right now, nobody's won twice. That's astounding.
Yeah. Well, Nelly Korda had seven last year, right? Didn't she win seven times?
Yeah, she had seven last year, yeah. And she's sitting on goose eggs this year, you know?
I know. What are your thoughts about the why of that?
You know, I think it's just really hard to build on success. You know, Nelly had a breakout year in 2021. She won a major. I think she won four or five tournaments that year, won the Olympic gold medal. And then 22, 23, she didn't do very much. She had some injury issues in there, the blood clots and stuff.
Yeah.
And she came back and had a big year in 24. The three greatest winners I've covered in my life, and Danielle, I probably have said this to you before, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Annika Sorenstam. And one of the things they did brilliantly, they not only forgot their losses, they forgot their wins. If they won a tournament, they went out and played the next week as if they had never won a tournament before in their life and played with just a ferocity that was astounding to watch.
Yes.
And I'm not sure you can teach that. You know, that's just sort of in you. And we're seeing right now, and I think on both the, you know, particularly on the women's tour, but Scotty is doing it a little bit on the men's tour, you know, but to go out there and put yourself in contention week after week after week, it's a hard thing to do.
Absolutely. I mean, it's there are so many things going on in the mind and the body. You have to be in tune or be able to ignore what the body and the mind are saying and just go, you know, gung-ho. There's some sayings from wartime, you know, that you could apply to golf. You just have to go.
And I think one of the other problems that happens out there is that players find that when you win, particularly if you win a major, but if you win anything out there, the game changes for you in the sense that the demands on you change.
Oh.
The media wants more from you. The fans want more from you. The sponsors want more from you. And then all of a sudden you've got all these outside distractions happening, and how do you juggle that? Nicholas Sorenstam Woods were great at juggling that because they had an amazing ability to block out the rest of the world. You know, they kept their focus on the golf course.
Yep.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, it is. And I was, I'm just taken by the expectations that people have. Not only do the people playing the game, the expectations they have on themselves, but then they know that everybody else is expecting, you know. So you won seven times. Why aren't you winning now? You know, it's like, wait, hold on a second.
I've had several major champions tell me that once you win a major, the most important word to learn how to say is no, because there's going to be a zillion demands made on you, and you got to learn how to juggle those and how to say, you know what? No, I can't do that. I need to practice today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I need to focus on my round of golf today. And that's hard to do. And it's hard to do and not seem arrogant about it, too. You know, Rory McIlroy, who has always given everything in the media, has gotten into trouble a couple times in the last year when he has decided not to talk to the media. And I totally always understood his frustrations and why he didn't want to talk. But it's hard. It's hard to learn how to say no.
And you know, now he said no to the first event. He's not going to play. And you know, he's making decisions that are important to him, and he's playing in other parts of the world where most people aren't going. So he's, on the one hand, it's disappointing that he's not going to be in a tournament. But on the other hand, he's giving of himself in places that no one's ever gone to play before. So, you got to look at it from all different angles and what he's accomplishing and achieving through that. I need to ask you about something that I was watching on television on the AIG Women's Open. Charlie Hull just about nailed Minji Lee. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Oh my God. Minji Lee was about to tee off on the hole ahead of Hull, and somehow Charlie's ball just shot by her. I mean, it was so, you know, so off course and coming so hard. She jumped. I went, wow.
That's the great thing about all those British golf courses is they were all built before carts. So the greens and the tees are very close together.
Oh.
So you're playing in a very jammed up area, and it's very, very easy. Man, I played one course. Oh, I'm trying to remember which one it is, but on number seven, we drove over number six green. You know, that's how economical they are with their land use.
Wait a minute. You drove? Oh, you mean you didn't drive over it? You drove your ball over it.
Yeah, the tee line, your line for your tee shot was over number six green.
Yeah.
So you had to wait for people to putt out on that green before you whipped your shot.
Could you hurry up?
By the way, you know, Charlie Hall's only three back. She's still very, very much in this championship, and she would be a hugely popular winner, not just in Britain, but overall, because she's a character, you know. She's one of those people that, as a writer, you love to have on a leaderboard because she's going to say something wacky. She's going to be honest, and she plays fun, aggressive golf. So she'd be a big winner. I look at her right now in that she's sort of the Ricky Fowler of women's golf right now, in that she does everything right except win. You know, and if she would just win a little bit more, she'd be a massive star out there. She's a hugely likable person.
Yeah, after that, you know, wayward shot, she went up 25 spots on the board. You know, she really got her game going, and you said yesterday she was a T3, so she's holding on to that spot nicely. And I don't know what the weather condition is. It breezy still today?
Yeah, the question will be, what's it going to be like tomorrow for the final round?
Right.
And, you know, Miho Yamashita, who's leading, is somebody that probably most American golf fans don't know a whole lot about. She plays on the Japan LPGA. And she's won 13 times there, and she's only 24 years old.
Wow.
So she's a really, really, really good player who has chosen to play on the Japan LPGA and not come over here. So, and, you know, sitting in second place is A. Lim Kim, who's a U.S. Women's Open champion. She won the COVID Open in Houston in 2020. So it's going to be it'll be a fascinating final round. But Yamashita is one of those players that we don't hear about because she doesn't play on the LPGA. She just shows up in the major championships. But she is a really, really quality player. As I said, 13 wins. That's a lot.
That's a lot. And it's a very competitive group of, well, they're all competitive, but yeah, that's a lot. Okay, I just wanted to mention that
Asterix Sally.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. And London.
She won the girls' PGA championship.
Yes. Right? Yes, she did. And Charlie, London Esterline, he also won the 49th Boys and Girls Junior PGA Championships. Charlie finished T9. And I was thinking to myself, you got Tiger Woods as your dad, and how do you live up to his, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you know, woo. He's already behind his dad, because at this age, his dad had won the U.S. Boys Junior Championship twice. But Asterix Tally, though, she is another person to keep an eye on, because she's not only really, really talented, but there's everything to like about her. And if she gets somebody who breaks out and turns pro and starts winning tournaments, is going to be a huge connect with the fans. Fans love her.
Good. Oh, this is great. I'm so glad we're really growing the game. And I was just talking with Bob Herrig earlier in the show about there are just so many tournaments. Sometimes I wonder if we're doing the right thing for the fans. And I'm still, we'll have to talk. You'll have to be back on, because I have to thank the sponsors, and I have to go. I was kind of stretching with people because I wasn't sure. How was your game today? Just as an aside.
Oh, I won a little bit of money. So I...
That's always a good answer. Ron Syrak, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. Award-winning writer, PGA of America, Lifetime Achievement in Journalism, and he's an author. Author of Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott, Pia Nilsson, The Game Before the Game, Play Your Best Golf Now, Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. Didn't Play Your Best Golf Now go into another edition or something?
We are in our 32nd printing of it. That book came out 20 years ago, and it's still out there. People are still reading it. So.
Congratulations. That is absolutely fabulous. See, we have so much to talk about. Ron, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Danielle Tucker. Talk to you down the road.
Aloha. And we want to thank our sponsors and welcome the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round, or hey, wind down after work. The Newtown Range. It's operated by Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, good fun. And, you know, it's Aloha Powers, the so hot and humid riding mower sale. The last thing you need to do is go out there and work up a sweat, because you don't have to do anything to sweat nowadays. Make your work faster, easier. You want them? We got them. And so you can get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment. It's open Monday through Saturday, Evilay, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. And the Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It really is the gift that lasts forever. For self, for health, for friendship and family, go golf. And there's so many kids playing golf now. They can easily get into Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee. They have so many different things, and the kids just kind of love being together and have a good time. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Maui, thank you for your help here. Aloha Section PGA, of course, and the Honolulu Sign Company. Branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. You can't find the place you want to go to if they don't have a sign up. Make sure you have a sign so I can find you. Thank you for your mana, and may you help. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.